This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Tan Chung Han and you're tuned in to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm very pleased to welcome to the studio Joyce Chua, CEO with Success Concepts, which is a financial literacy company. And Joyce is also a licensed financial planner with CIMB Principal. Good morning, Joyce, and welcome back to the program.
Morning, always glad to be back.
Now, we are just a few days away from Christmas. And so for today's episode, I want to give a timely reminder to our listeners here about some financial tips as we enter this festive season and make sure we keep our spending in check ahead of the big day that's Christmas Day. So broadly speaking, you know, what should we be aware of when it comes to our spending during this festive period?
You know, Han, the thing about Christmas is giving and a lot of presents. I do hope that a lot our listeners have budgeted for this from the beginning of the year rather than just bursting their budget at the end, you know, and spending it all. I think it's very important to remember that where gifts are in terms of needs. I spoke to you about the Maslow hierarchy of needs.
And that's right.
I was also talking to you about a similar kind of pyramid with regards to money. Now, Maslow hierarchy of needs basically just says the basic is what shelter.
Your physiological needs. Yeah.
Yeah. Shelter, love, you know, as self-esteem and self-actualization. So with regards to money, there's also the same pyramid, but it's worded a little bit differently. The one at the bottom is survival money. Then you have what if money, and then freedom money, gift money, and then dream money. So if you notice, the gift money actually goes pretty much up on the pyramid.
Yeah, second from the top.
Yes. Yeah. So it's not something that you have to do at during Christmas, on Christmas. Although, yes, that's the tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's important to actually look at which part of your presence or your gifting lies in your pyramid rather than just making it as a necessity and sacrificing the rest of what is important in your financial life.
Sure. Now, Joyce, let's just recap it again for our listeners. So at the bottom, which should be a larger proportion, would be survival money. Then as it goes up, it gets thinner, right? So survival, then what if money, then freedom money, then gift money, and then dream money, correct?
That's right,
okay.
Yes.
Is that a pretty fluid pyramid, if I may call it that? Because, you know, like you said, come Christmas time, there's a lot more emphasis on gift money, perhaps more so than dream money or freedom money, right? Or what if money. So can we have the kind of flexibility to, you know, put the allocation for what if money to the side and focus on gift money, especially for the month of December?
Right. That's fine, provided it's been budgeted for and provided that after, should you need to burst your budget, if you have to burst your budget in December, then make sure that in January or February, go on a financial fast.
Ah, a financial fast. Okay, tell us more about that. That sounds a bit scary, but go on.
Yeah, because if, you know, like you say, there are things that are fluid in our spending. I mean, in December, it's festive and we don't want to make our children cry. Yeah, if there are no gifts for them just we're following the pyramid. But if you need to, then make a resolution, a financial resolution by January. Go on a financial fast, which means that you actually tighten up your budget. You look at things that you may not need. You may even need to do a little bit of a decluttering to see what are the things that I can have without having to buy them. And you'll be surprised, you'll find things.
So this would be like latte factors, right?
Yes, the latte factors. And I think a few questions in your financial fast would be, do I really need it? What are my alternatives? Can I make the purchase in a way that's more cost effective? Am I getting my money's worth? What else could I do with that money if I don't buy this item? Am I better off by saving the money somewhere else? So do it that for 30 days.
30 days?
30 days.
Okay, fine. If you have to, then go ahead and spend for the festive period. But then come January, you do the financial fast. But then February is just around the corner with Chinese New Year, though, you know. So, I mean, here in this multicultural Malaysia, the festive periods seem to be unending, right? So how does that translate into the Malaysian context? Is the financial fast sustainable, so to speak?
You know, anything that you do on a regular basis, then it becomes sustainable. Oh. It may be hard the first time you do a financial fast. Then, you know, and a financial fast makes it even more, gives you even more reason to actually splurge a little bit the next month because we have many festivities, as you mentioned.
Right.
So go on a fast and then splurge a bit and then go on a fast and splurge a bit. After a while, after maybe 3 or 4 fasting fasting
cycles.
Yes. You probably would have actually picked up 1 or 2 good habits with regards to your money.
Right, so this is a conditioning of how we actually spend our money then, right?
Exactly, that's okay. The word.
At the same time, I think during that financial fast as well, and I think you alluded to this, it'll be a good time to kind of stock up and budget for the upcoming festive season, and so that we have the money set aside already well in advance, as opposed to just trying to scramble for money, or worse still, take on debt to meet those festive obligations.
Exactly. Mm. And a financial fast is something not many people do. Mm. But I've actually tried it with 1 or 2 of the ones who sought help from me. And they had a cash flow problem, and I got them on not a 30-day fast initially, but maybe just a week. But then after a week, you'd be surprised they come back and tell me that they feel good about it. They feel good about saving money when they didn't.
Mm.
So that's a good habit, and I think it's a change of mindset. I think money is a lot to do with behavior.
Right. Now, that also assumes that you've got enough fat to trim. But then we also hear of others who are already tight, you know, in their day-to-day expenses, that they don't really have that much room to cut back anyways, much less the fast, right? So what would be your message to them then? Again, on one hand, they're tight as it is, but then they have the added pressures that come during the festive seasons. What would be your advice to them?
In terms of spending and giving ampaus.
And budgeting and all
budgeting,
that, yeah.
Yes. Budget is something that you need to look at every day if you're on a tight budget. You know, it is about putting aside a certain amount every day or even every week, and whatever that you have left, and then put it into a bank account which you have no access to. Mm. That's one. And budget is something which is necessary in everyone's life. So it's a matter of how often do you look at the budget. If you're tighter, look at it every day or every week. And for someone who is actually better with regards to their cash management, maybe half a year or, you know, a year, that sort of thing.
Mm.
So for those who are actually on a tight budget, it's important to look at, say, for example, Christmas. Look at, do you really need to give Christmas gifts? Do you need to... can you actually replace it with something else like an outing, you know, which actually costs less? For example, in my office, we're going to have a Christmas party, and I said that let's bring a 10 ringgit kind of gift exchange, and everyone said, yeah, how can I get someone something with each 10 ringgit?
Yeah, 10 ringgit?
You can.
Wow, like?
Yeah, well, you can go to a lot of budget shops. I won't mention it here.
Ah, okay.
Yes. Right. And
the 5 ringgit shop.
The 5 ringgit ones, yeah, okay. Or lesser.
Oh.
Yeah, I actually got a gift for 10 ringgit, and it's not the value, it's actually the thought and the process or the mood in giving each other gifts. So you don't have to buy gifts.
Wow, I totally blew the budget at my office Secret Santa exchange there. But that was obviously done before this show, so I should have taken your advice, Joyce, before I went and bought my gift. With the little time that we have before we get to break here, Joyce, so again, in looking at this pyramid, do you have a guiding figure? Like, how many percent should we allocate for some of these layers? So again, at the top, you got the dream layer, then you got gift second, then freedom, then what if, and then survival at the bottom. Mm-hmm. So do you have an allocation? How much should we set aside for, say, the gift layer?
Well, gift layer is usually about 5%.
5%?
Yes, 5%. Okay. You don't, one may not actually reach the point of the dream layer, because that's something maybe, when all else has been done. So normally the bottom layer takes up about 50 to 60%. What if money, probably about 20%. And freedom money is something, it's elusive, right, to some people. So that's when sometimes, as you said, it's fluid. The gift money becomes important during certain festivities like now.
Mm.
So allocate 5 to 10% with regards to gifting.
All right, so 5 to 10% for gifting, 20% for what if, survival, 50 to 60%. So we've still got about another 10% to play with after we have deducted everything else.
Yes.
So I guess that remaining 10% can go towards either freedom or dream, right?
It's usually freedom, huh?
Mm. And now, how do you make that distinction then? What do you mean by freedom money?
Well, freedom money is for example, retirement money. Everyone needs to retire. It's something that you can't do without. Mm. Unless, I mean, it's not possible that we work forever. It's something that you want to do away from work. Or even during work, there's something else you want to just spend on your time on. Whereas dream money is, for example, you want to be maybe a published speaker. And that's not something vital, not something that you need to have whilst retirement is something everyone has to do.
So it's a dream you aspire to. If you are able to, then put some funds aside to make that dream become reality. So
exactly.
That's the idea. Got it. Mm-hmm. Great stuff. Okay, Joyce, when we come back, let's talk about some active steps that we can take. And let's focus on the spending part, you know, and how we can spend wisely. Because like you said, this is, after all, the season of giving,
exactly.
Right? So all right, we'll focus on that in the second half. I'm speaking to Joyce Chua, CEO of Success Concepts, which is a financial literacy company. And also, she's a licensed financial planner with CIMB Principal. This is Ringgit & Cents. Stay tuned.
Ringgit & Cents on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Tan Chung Han, and still with me is Joyce Chua, CEO with Success Concepts, which is a financial literacy company. And she's also a licensed financial planner with CIMB Principal. And of course, she's a regular here on this show, Ringgit and Sense. Now, Joyce, in the first half, we spoke about, you know, as we find ourselves in the lead up to Christmas, how do we budget and set aside money for the various commitments that we have during the festive seasons. Now let's look at the spending component then, okay? Mm-hmm. So we know how to budget, perhaps save that financial fast that you spoke about in the first half.
Yes.
Yikes. Now let's talk about the spending, because we do have to spend somewhat in the festive season. So how do we go about spending prudently? What are some tips?
Spending is about what you want and what you need. So in the first place, before you even start spending for Christmas, list down what do you really need and what do you really want. Mm. I mean, one question we were talking about is like, do we really need a Christmas tree? I don't have a Christmas tree at home. you know, it's very expensive.
Well, it is. But, you know, again, it's the festivities, though. Like, I'm sure many people are pricking up and thinking, well, you need a Christmas tree. What's a Christmas without a Christmas tree?
Well, you can actually have a smaller Christmas tree.
Okay, a smaller Christmas tree. Okay, that's a fair compromise then.
That's a need. It's also important to look at why certain things are necessary. So there are many things we can compromise on. For example, if you spoke about latte factor anyway, one of the things that I advocate is to tell yourself, how much do you need to spend on Christmas? I mean, if you have a figure, then you actually work around that figure. For example, someone says, I need to spend about, say, 1,005 for Christmas festivities. Mm. And that's actually very little.
Yeah.
But then work backwards, what 1,005, what can you sacrifice in order to make that 1,005, right?
Okay.
I worked on a figure 5,004. I spoke to you before about this. And that 5,004 would be equivalent to, say, 54 number of dates.
Oh, okay. Wait, hold on. So that's 100 ringgit per date.
Yes.
Now, I am single. I've been on a few dates. Mm-hmm. 100 ringgit is really tight, though. Especially in KL, you can barely go on a decent date for 100 ringgit.
There you go. It's a difference between a need and a want, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right?
I guess I got to go on a date with someone who's okay with mama. And all. Then it'd be a different story.
Yeah. I mean, you can't spend 100 ringgit on mama.
Yeah.
I mean, you can compromise between mama and something more lavish, right? So again, it's needs and wants. So, you know, so find out how much do you need to budget for Christmas, and then decide to spend less on the others. Mm. So, and if you have to let go of, say, I mean, latte factor is not just about latte factor. If you have to let go of, say, manicures, you know, do that. You know, do you really need manicures? You can actually do that at home with a nice nail polish.
I wouldn't know. So, yeah, I'm gonna take your word on that one.
Right. I don't go for manicures because I find them expensive. It's something. Yeah, it's expensive. You can actually put this money away and so spend less on others and go shopping during the festivities, as you say. We have to spend.
Mm. Now, Joyce, keeping in mind that during this festive season, retailers take full advantage of it and they offer what seems to be crazy deals, all those discounts, right? And sometimes they're just so tempting. It's very, very hard to walk away from them. Because I was at 1U just yesterday, and this was on a weekday at 3 p.m. and the place was packed. There were just a lot of people still doing their shopping. how do we try to remove ourselves from that temptation, or you know, at least try to rein in those impulses to spend on those juicy discounts?
Right. Again, it's needs and wants. If those discounts are something that you, those discounts are on products that you will need in future. For example, bath gel. You know, your favorite bath gel. And if it's on discount, by all means, take advantage of it. Buy it and store it away. But if it's something that is consumable and you buy three and get one free and it actually has quite a early expiry date, that's something that you probably don't want to do. So don't just buy because of a discount, you know, and don't just buy because there's an extra free one if you get like five in advance. Yeah.
If you don't need it, right.
If you don't need it. But having said that, it is also important to look at the discount discounts that's available right now. I know someone who actually buys alcohol and, you know, beer and all that sort of thing during Christmas or during a festive season, and actually have them kept it for the whole year. And
oh, wow.
He doesn't buy them anymore after that.
Okay. Not that we are advocating drinking on this show here, but the idea is to take advantage of the discounts and then you can use that to store up. Got it. But then also, you spoke about raising the bar of entry, so to speak, when it comes to us spending money. So nowadays, we've got all these apps for these online marketplaces. It makes it so easy for us to buy stuff just by tapping on our phone screens, right? And you say that's not a good idea.
No, because it again, it's like financial fast. It's a good habit to have. You can also acquire. In fact, you can acquire bad habits more easily than a good habit. So, an app in your smartphone becomes just a tap away, right? So, I've actually removed that app.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. Okay. And there are, of course, emails that come in. I unsubscribe them. So, raise your bar. Yes, you're right. Raise your bar by telling yourself if you're actually susceptible to a certain kind of habit. Remove it. Remove the temptation. Remove going for window shopping if you find that you actually overspend.
Right.
Right? And don't go shopping when you're hungry because you tend to buy more.
Yes, that's right. Now, I've heard that a lot, and I do have to say that I myself am guilty of that as well. When I go shopping and when I'm hungry, I end up walking with, you know, a ton of things that I don't even need.
Like, for example, when you buy a book and then there's a delivery and that sort of thing, I no longer buy books online. I actually read them on Kindle, so you don't have delivery charges.
And it's cheaper as well.
And it's cheaper. So raise your bar, you know, and change that mindset. As I say, it's behavior.
With the little time that we have left, Joyce, earlier you mentioned put that money away, right? So give us some tips again then. When we do put that money away, what are we doing? Are we just saving or do we invest? What are your tips there?
Well, it's always good to have a balance between saving and investing. And investing is something that you can do on a regular basis, right? So, but save up first. Because if you haven't had the habit of saving and then you go straight on to investing and then, you know, markets are not that great sometimes, like now, and then you find out all your savings are actually diminishing. But it will eventually come back. But if that happens, it kind of like spoils your mood. It's like, I've saved up so much, but, you know, I've invested it and it's not doing anything for me. So, save up first. And then seek help, seek a guide,
advice,
how much you should actually put aside for investing. Don't invest at all.
Yeah, because obviously looking at the markets right now, Santa Claus is not coming to town because the markets have just been terrible this Christmas season. Okay, Joyce, let's end with this then. We have spoken about how to do the financial fast, how to budget properly, and then what are some mitigating factors to prevent you from splurging on unnecessary wants, not needs. So just sum it all up for us then. What is the one biggest takeaway you want us to understand as we find ourselves just days away from Christmas 2018?
Right. Use the festivity to enjoy yourself, for sure. But enjoy yourself with not things, but with people. I think relationships are much more important than having something. So let's just spread that word around.
And that's why you are right here on this program, Joyce. Always a pleasure having you on the program. That was Joyce Chua, CEO with Success Concepts, a financial literacy company. And she's also a licensed financial planner with CIMB Principal. Wishing you all a very Merry Christmas. I'm Tan Chung Han, and this has been Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Stay tuned because we've got Enterprise coming up. But before that, we have the 10 a.m. news bulletin. So stick around for that right here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.